Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin with you, presented by Regal Realty Group. Excited to have them on board. Titans taking your reaction. Their loss yesterday, 23-16, to the Indianapolis Colts. 0-3 on the road this year, and now they head to London. Technically, that's a home game, but a neutral site in Tottenham, as they will take on the Baltimore Ravens next week. And as we've been discussing, inconsistencies yesterday in that game, even though they put up 16 points, they had to settle for some field goals. And also, we haven't even talked about the interception at the end. I mean, he's trying to win the game. He got less than a minute trying to make a play. I'm not really going to hold that too much against Ryan Tannehill. Overall, I thought Tannehill was okay yesterday. What did you think about that?
I thought he was all right. I mean, the play action was good. I thought him and Hopkins, if they've got a little rapport that they've come together. Now he looks for him down the field. Hopkins is just an outstanding receiver. I mean, that guy is really, really good. And that's kind of become his Tannehill's go-to guy. But again, you know, let Hopkins sometimes take the double coverage away. But who's stepping up? I mean, we lavish praise on Chris Moore, but I didn't see anything from him yesterday. Burks is always going to be hurt. He's not out there doing anything. And
Moore wasn't targeted.
Yeah, and so it's just you need somebody else, another player out there to help that. And I think Tannehill was fine from what he was given. I thought Spears, the little change of place, change of pace was doing fine there. But, again, when your defense isn't stopping anybody and you're – I did say this, though, Chase. You know, I hate field goals. I absolutely hate – you're not going to win field goals. But when – the Colts did not kick a field goal at the end of the half. There are times when you can kick a field goal. It's okay. At the end of the half, kick a field goal. I don't know what he was trying to do. That was a dumb play call to some big fat lineman like me trying to catch a pass out in the flat. Stop doing that. Just kick the field goal. You got your 3 points. You go to halftime, a little momentum. Then they go in halftime like, what's going to go on? You know, we should have got that. And then at the end of the game, you're up 23-16. You don't have to worry about if they score a touchdown and just don't let them get down there yet, you know. And so, I'm sorry, they've been up 26-16 had they kicked the field goal. But – I mean, that's Jeff Fisher Palooza. I mean, you had, what, five field goals in that game yesterday? Six field goals in the game, whatever it was? You're not going to win the field goals. And I know the decision to go for it late in the game, 4th-and-1, I love it. The play could have been there, but you key on Henry. But again, that's when you use him as a decoy. It works so good as a decoy when you get him back there and do something else, and they couldn't execute the play, and that's it. But again, if you can't stop anybody running the football, you're not going to win the game.
No, you're not, and that was the case. And, yeah, that fourth down call, I was fine going for it. And I mean, how many times in the past have we seen it? You give it to Henry up the gut, and it works, but they knew it was coming. So I agree with you that maybe you could have gone play action and had both Spears and Henry out there, got a quick little, you know, check down to Spears or Okonkwo. You know, another thing, too, Chig Okonkwo, I got to see more from him. I just do. I mean, we've been talking about, okay, he's going to be the tight end of the future and he's progressing and all these things. He had a couple of drops yesterday, and it's been kind of like Burks, that the ball will hit him right in the hands and it looks like me trying to catch it. I mean, come on. He's got to make a play.
Right. Oh, I totally agree. People still weighing in on this Titans thing. They're scratching their heads, too, of why the team is leaving on Thursday. Brent says, if you keep on the central time zone schedule, why there, play the game, then return. It takes a few days to get your body used to the 6+ hour difference. It takes time to adjust back. Coming back makes it a lot easier. Well, that's great, but you got to go over there and play in the time that you land on Friday morning and get to work is just odd. Meanwhile, the Ravens will have at least be acclimated by 3 days at least to do that. So I love when we hit on something organic like that, Chase, because people love to react about that. Man, they're weighing in big time.
Yeah, they are, yeah. And you can continue to do that either on our Twitter X page at 1025 The Game, at Chase on Game, at Big Joe on the Go, or 615-737-1025.
All right, this is college football, and I don't advocate for coaches getting fired. I'm not one of those things, oh, you fire that guy. But when does Tim Hasselbeck come on with the Midday Guys? Tuesday?
Tomorrow at noon.
All right, so Tim Hasselbeck was on the call of that Georgia Tech-Miami game. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Miami's got the lead late in the game. All they got to do is knee it. The game is over with. Mario Cristobal, the head coach down there, decides to run the football. the running back fumbles. Georgia Tech gets it, and they go like 75 yards in two plays. And Tim Hasselbeck was on that call and was completely befuddled, dumbfounded, whatever you want to use. And Georgia Tech goes down, scores, and wins the game. I mean, Mario Cristobal should have a game check taken away. That I don't see how – and he evidently did it before when he was at Oregon, same thing. Just don't be cute. Kneel down. And it was like, you know, Joe Piskarczyk in the Meadowlands when he tried to hand the ball off and he fumbled and Herm Edwards picked it up and ran it in for a touchdown. Yeah. They were just some stupid call. That was an amazingly stupid football call. These coaches are just killing these teams with these calls like that. So if you haven't seen it, go look it up, and you'll be like, my goodness, why?
It was terrible. I mean, I was watching another game. I was watching USC in Arizona, and that was a wild one too. SC wins in three overtimes. But I get a text from our good friend Ricky, and he's like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And I'm like, what? And he goes, Miami just lost and told me what happened. And then they around that time they showed – you know, they cut in and showed what happened. There's just no excuse for that. Like, no. You have the game won. Just sit on it. You're done. It's over. They can't stop the clock. Yet you want to be cute and you want to run. You deserve to lose the game if you're going to make boneheaded decisions like that as the head coach.
It was just – I'm watching it because I like Tim. I like to – you know, the game was on. I just checked in and see what was going on. I'm like, oh man, Georgia Tech's going to lose this game. They played hard. They're down – whatever it was, and then I was like, why is he running the football? And then he fumbles. I'm like, well, he's down. The Miami run down, and they reviewed it and looked and said, he's not down. I was like, well, they got to go 75 yards, no timeouts. And they do, and they win the game. I was like, how do you face your team? And you could see they cut to the team, and they were just dropping F-bombs on the sidelines. Like, what are we doing? And how do you face your team after that? Do you go in the locker room and say, hey, you know, my bad. We'll get him next week. I just that's just awful. That was an awful, awful call by the head coach at Miami.
I would love to know, like, you know, what the relationship is like, especially between, you know, the seniors and the leaders and stuff and the head coach, Mario Cristobal, on that team. Because if I'm one of those senior leaders, I'm getting pretty, you know, just real with him and going like, dude, what are we doing? Like,
right.
I get it. It's your call. But, like, that was a terrible call.
Well, not only that, Chase, but you got to – when you stand up there and ask why, I mean, what do you say why that you did that? I don't get it.
I don't know. I don't have a good – there's no good excuse, in my opinion, for it. Like if he said, yeah, I was kind of an idiot, then I might accept
Chase.
That.
Watch out, Chase. Blitzkrieg. Get to the table, Chase. Watch out.
It's Magnum. There's a helicopter that flies through here that looks just like the helicopter from Magnum PI. So you would appreciate it.
But what's the temperature right now on the beach?
Right now it's about 67.
Okay, not bad. Sun
yeah,
out?
Yeah, it feels great. Sun is out. Sun's out, guns out.
Man, if I could, if they I don't want to see it, but if you could do the show in just a Speedo and that's it, that'd be fantastic.
Well, it would be like Ben Jones being shirt.
Could you imagine going on a plane with that guy, just no shirt on? You know, he always did the pregame with no shoes walking on the field.
Yeah, right.
I wonder if it's the same way in the airplane. No shoes, no shirt, just sweating
no
up
problems.
A storm.
And the air conditioning goes off in the plane?
Oh,
man,
that's awful.
Oh,
I
would
imagine. But, yeah. But what's funny is, like, to visualize that, Brett Kern, you know, like, waking up, and he's like, where are we? And he just looks over, there's Ben Jones sitting there without a shirt.
Sweating like a pig. Hey, Brett, what's going on?
Yeah, what's up,
air conditioning's
man?
Out on the plane. Oh, man.
Elsewhere in college football, Georgia absolutely destroys Kentucky. So that little thought for a second that Kentucky might be the one is over.
Right.
Okay, never mind. Moving on. Michigan continues to roll. How about Oklahoma? It was a shootout. For sure.
The chaser
Oklahoma.
Caught it. That's your lock
I
on
did.
Friday,
that
man.
That was my lock. That was my lock. So, Oklahoma? Oklahoma. It's at 6-0. Texas drops to 5-1.
Yeah, that you did. And that was a heck of a ball game too, man. Down to the last second, and that's what we've come to expect in that football game. But that's a Brett Venables last year, they were ready to get him on the road because they're still upset about Lincoln Riley. But when Lincoln Riley came out and made a few disparaging comments about Oklahoma fans, I think the tide turned a little bit for Brent Venables at Oklahoma. Like, all right, we like this guy. He likes us. We're going to keep him. And then knocking off Texas yesterday, or I'm sorry, on Saturday, was just monumental for that program. And going forward, that was we say it's a huge win, but that was a huge win for Oklahoma.
So we talked a little bit about them last week, but now that it's happened, Louisville beats Notre Dame 33-20. Watch out for the Cardinals sitting there at 6-0, already bowl eligible. They beat Notre Dame. That's a big win for them.
Yeah, I'm going to look and see when they play Florida State, because that's going to be a huge game between Florida State and Louisville. Keep talking amongst yourselves, people.
Alabama, you got your wish. Alabama beat Texas A&M 26-20. So we can write off Jimbo and A&M for another season.
Well, hold on. Louisville's not playing Florida State.
They don't play Florida State.
Louisville's got Pittsburgh, Duke, Virginia Tech, Virginia, Miami, and Kentucky in the season. And
so they could see them. They could see them in the ACC championship.
I guess so. They could also see a 12-0 Louisville team headed to the ACC championship.
Yeah, and look, they got a ways to go. I mean, they got Duke is – I wouldn't say that's going to be easy.
That's a home game.
Miami, that's a home game. They're at Miami. They got to play Kentucky. So, I mean, they still got some work to do. But I'm paying attention right now to the Louisville Cardinals.
Good job.
You know, Notre Dame might be a little overrated too, or was.
Yeah, but still, knocking off Notre Dame is still a big win for a program like Louisville to do that. Yeah, I was glad that Jimbo got it. It's weird after the game. Jimbo was talking about how hard his team played, and all. It was just almost like he knew that it's over. I know that sounds weird from my perspective. It's almost like, I know I can't get it done here. And now I'm hoping the Vols beat Jimbo by 100 on Saturday up in Neyland.
If the Vols beat them Saturday, which I kind of think they're going to, Jimbo's going to get fired. Maybe not after the game, but he's going to get fired this year.
Yeah.
You can go ahead and just
mark
that.
They still got to play Ole Miss and LSU. So losing to Alabama, now you've lost a tiebreaker to Alabama. And I don't see how this works in Jimbo's favor going forward. Yeah, if Tennessee could drop a big win on them on Saturday, then this team will probably quit on him. And then, because you still got to go at Ole Miss. That's going to be a huge game. And then LSU at the end of the season. So it's, I know Jimbo's getting his 9 or 70 million, whatever it is, but that's on A&M for paying him all that money and trying to, you know, think he's the coach forever there. And he's not getting the job done.
Yeah, I am a little confused that, you know, Alabama didn't move up a spot at all. I mean, that's a big SEC win. They're still 11th, but you had several teams moving in either direction in the top 25. Oklahoma now finds themselves in the top 5. Ohio State moves up to 3. Florida State up to 4. And then, of course, Georgia and Michigan.
But you had a good point. I mean, when Georgia turned it on Saturday, I mean, they turned it on. That offense looked good. That defense was swarming. Although Ray Davis played his butt off against that wave after wave after wave of Georgia player that was just, you know, the defense hitting him left and right. But that's a good team. So I guess, you know, Georgia's big task next is going to be playing Tennessee and Neyland in November and see what happens then.
Coming up next, we'll get back into your reaction to the Titans. They lose yesterday 23-16 to the Colts. 615-737-1025. I'm going to go check out what Magnum's doing here in the helicopter. Do that next. Chase and Big Joe, presented by Regal Realty Group, 1025-1063, the game.
Hey, I got another call coming in. I got to let the machine get it. Bye.
George isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep. I must be out or I pick up the phone. Where could I be? Believe it or not, I'm not home.
There you go, Chase.
Little Seinfeld for you.
Good job, Dr. Crane.
On Friday. That was good. I was not expecting that, but I let it go. It was good.
Thank you very
Chasing
much.
Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, broadcasting live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios, or my case, on the beach, presented by Regal Realty Group. A lot of people reacting to this the end of the Miami game on our text line, 615-737-1025. Also, take your Titans reaction. What do you think about this? You played college football. You've talked about, you know, you're who you played for and everything. But 9302 says, if you're a player, shouldn't you just not listen to the coach and knee it on your own if you're smart enough?
Yeah, but how often are you not going to go, I mean, just thinking, I'm going to hand the ball off. I mean, your wildest dreams, you're thinking he's not going to fumble. And, you know, you do what you're told and run the play. I just thought I'd be – my question, like, why not just – are you having a drink there, Chase? Why not? Why not just kneel it and be done with it? I don't get it, and nobody else. Well, everybody's weighing in. They don't understand either, and it's just it's an awful call. The major team. I mean, I know you fumbled the ball game. I know there's some blame on the running back that fumbles on it, but he shouldn't be put in that situation to begin with.
No, you just sit on it. It's done.
Game's it's over.
But that, I mean, think about the ramifications for that call. For the rest of the season.
Oh, you know, yeah.
That's going to come back to bite them. Because that's one of those things, like, in the NFL, okay, you're going to lose some games and you can overcome it. In college football, especially in today, you know, the playoff era like we have right now, I mean, that you know, could cost them a New Year's Six game. I didn't think they were a playoff team anyway, but that could cost them down the line, and it probably will.
Well, I mean, they were 4-0.
Dumb decision.
They were 4-0, and playing pretty good football. They played a lot of good. They beat A&M gladly, but now you're 4-1. Now you go to at North Carolina this week, who's ranked 13th or 12th, whatever they are. Doesn't get any either. North Carolina, Clemson, and then Florida State later on, then Louisville later on. It just bad. I mean, and now you've got your team. You know, you're sitting 0-1 when you should be 1-0 in conference play. It's just crazy.
It's just dumb. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com as people weighing in on everything going on right now.
Jason says, ask the Bills how leaving that late worked out for them. They left Friday, according to the TV announcers, said that during the game. Why would you leave Friday?
Yeah,
that's weird.
I don't get that. And that resets our topic from earlier. Baltimore has elected to head to London today. They left this morning. The Titans are going to leave after practice on Thursday. And the questions that I have, one, I want Vrabel to be asked about that by somebody that's going to be there today of, you know, hey, what kind of went into – I mean, the helicopter's ready to take him right now to the airport that I'm at. But what went into that decision of – leaving on Thursday, and he's probably going to be like, well, that's what we did before and it worked, that's what other teams are doing. And then I want somebody to follow up and ask, does Baltimore have to inform the league or inform you directly or what have you of when they're going to leave and vice versa? Because I do feel like in something like this that there should be some communication there between the teams and the league and each other on, hey, we've decided that we're going to leave on Monday. Just let Tennessee know.
I guess. I mean, I think that would be, a courtesy. Hey, we're leaving here. But then I don't guess.
Well, I want to know if it's a rule. I want to know if they have to. If not, then, hey, do what you want. That's competitive advantage. That's part of it.
Well, I'm sure you inform the league, hey, we're going to leave on Monday. All right, Titans elect to leave on Thursday. There's no kind of you can do what you want to do on this. It's just odd, though, the fact that they're leaving Thursday. You know, again, when Brett Kern says that's just weird decision or odd decision to go leave on Thursday afternoon because it takes a while to get acclimated. People weighing in, like, we've traveled to London. It's not easy to land and, like, hey, let's go party. It takes, like, a while because your body's now 6 hours ahead of time, plus that 8-9 hour flight that you got to get on and everything else that goes with that. Plus, do you know that their electric system is a little bit weird when you plug in the wall? Do you know that?
I did not.
Do you have to have a different – is that right, Dr. Crane?
Yes, you have to have an adapter. It is like two little dots, and some of them have three little dots. I know when I was in Europe, there was triangular –
I was about to say, have you traveled to Europe a lot, Dr. Crane? Is that why you're our European expert?
I've traveled twice to Europe. I believe the United Kingdom has a different adapter than the rest of Europe. I know when I was in Italy, there was a three-prong. There was like a triangular – dot on the top, and then they had the two on the bottom. I think for Europe or UK, it's like a V-shaped adapter. Okay. I could be wrong. I'll look it up for you guys.
All right,
Joe, do you think because he's been over there twice that that qualifies him to be our European correspondent?
Yes, because you've been over there none, and I've been over there none. So
yeah, exactly.
he's our European. Yeah, he's our European. Good job, Dr. Crenn, on that. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's all these different things you got to take into account when you go over there. I mean, do you get to work? I mean, will there be a gym to work out in? I mean, Friday? I mean, where do you practice? And
well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I would assume that, like, with the Ravens going there for the whole week, they're going to have some sort of facility. But, I mean, think about having to take all the, like, the equipment guys having to take all the equipment and everything over there. You got to rent a truck to carry it. I mean, you got to, you basically have to get there and create your facility.
Yeah, it's
a
hassle.
Everything that you have back home.
It's just a massive hassle. Have to go do it. That's why we said earlier about with Vrabel, his excitement level of 1 to 10 of going to London, it's like minus 19. You know, he does not want to go over there. Obviously, if you go over there and you're 5-0, it's a different thing. But when you're 2-3 and you come off playing a bad football game, that's not what you want to do, but it is what it is, and so you can't worry about it. Put it behind you. Go out there and play the game on Sunday.
Blake says, I think they left last time on Sunday night after a home game, and they were there all week. I don't remember if that's the case.
No, they left
Hutton.
They left midweek, I thought. That's what Brett said.
Yeah, that's what Brett said, too. So, I mean, and we can confirm that with Hutton because he was on that trip with Titans Radio at the time, so... I don't think that's right. I think it was more midweek, and I think that's what a lot of teams have done. But now that Baltimore's elected to go, you know, earlier, as Dr. Crane has sent us an illustration of plugs.
Oh,
throughout the world,
the eye on that little illustration there is the one that England uses, I do believe.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Well, there you go.
How much does an adapter cost?
B's A and B are that's us.
Roughly $16.
Why aren't these things just universal?
That's what we all
that's
wish, Chase.
But like, why aren't these things universal? I don't understand. Like,
they look
you
like
would think now
dice.
They do look like dice.
These are the worst. These are the worst plugs I've seen since Troy Hansen.
Look at K. It has a little smiley face on it.
Oh, Chaser!
Gets that but me. Oh, that's awesome. And maybe a few other people. Oh,
I love it, man. Oh.
Well done.
Thank
well
you.
Done, Joe.
Thank you. Thank you.
Coming up next, we'll talk to Jonathan Hutton from Outkick. Consultants will tell you, no inside jokes.
No, none.
But we'll talk to Jonathan Hutton, get his thoughts on the Titans' loss yesterday and looking ahead to London. That's next. Chasing Big Joe, presented by Regal Realty Group, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chasing McKay, Big Joe Dubin here with you on this Monday. Titans fall 23-16 to the Colts yesterday. 0-3 on the road, 2-3 overall on the season, and lose their first division game as well. We say hello to Jonathan Hutton from Outkick. Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow, weekdays 2-5 on 94.9 The Fan. And Hutton, not a good way to start the division schedule for the Titans, as consistently inconsistent. That's basically what they are to this point this season. What's up?
Hey, good to see you guys. Yeah, you're right. I mean, this was one of those weeks where you were going to find out, okay, is this where the Titans begin to stack some things together, find some consistency, hit a groove, rhythm? No, just more of the same. You know, lose one, win one, back and forth, losing on the road. And, yeah, you leave with more questions than answers. And, unfortunately, that's becoming more and more of the trend of this team, where you feel like, okay, if they get this area figured out, then they'll be able to establish their identity. And offensive line wasn't an issue yesterday, at least in the pass protection. But they lost the battle up front in the trenches on both sides of the football. And, ultimately, that's why they come back to Nashville briefly at 2-3 overall.
Yeah, how much do you think not having Tierre Tart available on that defensive front contributed to them giving up 193 yards rushing, 165 of those yards to Zach Moss?
Well, I mean, Tierre Tart's a good player. That can't be the focus of why they gave up what they did to Zach Moss. Moss, you know, he's being compared to Le'Veon Bell in the postgame locker room by Simmons and Byard, but Zach Moss is no two-time Pro Bowl All-Pro type player like Le'Veon Bell was in Pittsburgh, right? Like, we have not seen a running back carve up a Titans defense like that to that amount with 145 yards or so, 165, excuse me. I don't want to shortchange him. 165 plus since Dalvin Cook did it in a stadium that I was there in a cavern of no one during the 2020 season in Minnesota. That's the last time a back did that to this defense. It's been a while. So I don't just point at T.R. Tartt. I do think, you know, Tartt's absence combined with Simmons and the injury, that can certainly play a factor. But this was more than just one or two players. This was a defense that was handled. And up front especially, Chase, this is a problem against that Colts front that Jim Irsay has been preaching. Be more like Tennessee. Tough-minded, more grit, more, you know, pissed off for greatness, so to speak. They brought that yesterday, and they matched the Titans and then some compared to what we saw from Tennessee.
All right, Jonathan, five games in, give me one thing positive about this football team.
Well, there are some positives, Joe. You know, look, everyone, the joke would be Nick Folk, right? The kick is up and the kick is good. That's good, but not good enough for what this offense needs to establish. They need to score in the red zone. What's good is they have brought in a veteran receiver that's actually producing to the quality that it is expected from DeAndre Hopkins. That's number one. Number two, offensive line pass protection has been better at times than expected, but when they've been really good, they've either won the games at home or whenever they have been awful, it's been a disaster. And it's no middle ground, right? And the flip side of this is when the defensive front, Joe, is a storyline, this team wins. And when they don't make the headline or make the couple bullet points below why the Titans played well, they're not going to win those games. The definition, the identity of the team in a position is behind that defensive front. And when they're good, they can be really good. They can win with this style. And when they're not, it's just, you know, the average run-of-the-mill football team, and that's what we saw yesterday.
I just see – that's a great positive. You're exactly right. The negative part of this, I don't see the camaraderie. It's just weird to me. Like, there's something missing.
I'm with you, man. No, the whole offseason was like this. You know, the offseason was it's a stretch to say one foot in, one foot out, because I don't want to see a team tank on purpose and bottom out and just, you know, mail in a year where you feel like in the division you can still be competitive. And they can. Also, think about the AFC picture right now compared to where we were in August with what the Jets look like without Aaron Rodgers. With Cincinnati and a banged up Joe Burrow, there are the things that certainly open up for you if you win this week against Baltimore and London. Point being, the offseason was, okay, two straight years they've drafted a backup running back and a backup quarterback. They need speed at wide receiver, and the answer in the draft primarily was a running back to help in that area. And the misses on the offensive line have come back to haunt them to where they don't have many answers, more questions, more cross your fingers and hope no one gets hurt. And the group that is here and healthy, hopefully they play better than what they've done as backups at previous stops. Joe, it's interesting. You know, I mentioned Byard. He's a great example, right? Like, I don't remember his name being called all that much yesterday. But the stars of this team, quote unquote, are not called often whenever we see performances like yesterday either. And that's on both sides of the football. And the camaraderie, yeah, it does have a vibe of where's this team headed after week eight? Where are we after Halloween, after the trade deadline? I'm not saying they're trading a bunch of players. I'm simply saying where are they record-wise compared to where they thought they'd be? And they're probably still searching for that answer, much like we were searching for an answer in the offseason of what this team was going to be.
Talking to Jonathan Hutton from Outkick. So you've done this London trip before. Now, Baltimore left this morning. They've elected to basically be there all week. The Titans are scheduled to leave on Thursday. What goes into the decision of when a team wants to leave? And do the two teams have to communicate that with each other to avoid some sort of competitive advantage, or is it just kind of whatever works for the team?
Whatever works for the team. Buffalo. So, look, a great advantage for Jacksonville to be over there for, 10, 11, 12 days, whatever it was, against Buffalo after losing the previous week and against Atlanta. This comes down to, does the team want to get in and get out, or do you want to go over there following a road trip? You know, and that's what Baltimore's doing. They're flying from Pittsburgh straight there. In the Titans' case, they're viewing this as, we'll get over there and we'll arrive on a Friday morning, go through some walkthroughs, and use our practice facility to the best that we can before we depart. And I'm looking at the time here, Chase. I'm making sure we're not running over, and we're not. That's good. Going over there a few years back, the Titans stayed at this castle, and it was more like a – it was a castle. It wasn't like Buckingham Palace. but they had like this back area. It wasn't a yard. It wasn't a lawn. They referred to it as the lawn. It was just like, you know, the 2 or 3 acres worth of space. But it wasn't practice worthy. You know, they rode horses on this area, and, you know, you turn an ankle. It wasn't up to quality. But that's, again, on the facility and going over there and making sure that everything's right. And you still can't guarantee that everything's going to be picture perfect. I'll also use the example. We've seen the Titans go early and stay. I was a part of the trip in Arizona for the final Malarkey year. Lost in Arizona, stayed in Arizona, flew to San Francisco, then came back, and they ended up losing both of those games too. I don't know if there's a rhyme or reason to it. The jet lag is real, though. I do buy into it. I've made a few long flights. That flight, for whatever reason, zapped me, and it wasn't until game day where I actually felt like I was on the clock. Maybe that did affect Buffalo a bit, but it was still a low-scoring game. And no matter what, Chase, stop the run and run the football. That's what the Titans have to do on Sunday against a good Baltimore team that, like Tennessee, when they've been throwing the football, they've been dropping passes. Catch the football when you have the opportunity. The Titans in Baltimore would have a much better record if they would do that.
We're talking to
Jonathan Hutton is with us.
Go ahead. Yeah, I know. You hit on something else. All right, we talked about, you know, Hopkins looks great. Tannehill yesterday was good. But, you know, when a defense can't stop a running game, and I want to know what the stats are. If you have 193 yards in a football game, there's probably 99% chance you're going to lose that game. And, you know, the defensive line is just kind of, you said it earlier, you know, when they're the talk of the game, they dominate. But there's that disconnect, too. They seem they had no answer yesterday. If I'm a Titans fan, I am so frustrated at what I saw yesterday. It's not even funny.
Well, and it's third down, Joe. Let's in both sides of the ball, it was a total team effort in the bad third down spot that they were in. If they're going to have a winning season, third down has to turn around. Because right now on third down, no team in the NFL averages fewer yards per play this season than the Tennessee Titans. Mm-hmm. Again, that's third down. They're really good on first down, fourth in the NFL on yards per play. If they win first down, they generally win the game. On the flip side, the Titans defense in games where they have lost 83%, or excuse me, when they win, they get off the field 83% of the time this season on third down. And when in the two losses, 50% is their rate of going back to the sideline on a third down play. Every Colts drive after that punt on their first possession went 40 or more yards, and it had at least one third down conversion. The Titans, I think, we should mention that this is not like the scoreboard was really lopsided here, but I never felt like the Titans were really in this after that possession following where the Titans went down to open the second half after getting the stop at halftime. Four plays, 75 yards, touchdown, and then Moss and company drive right back down the field and go get points. That was kind of the storyline here. And it's not all about points yesterday. It was just about conversions. And the Colts just drained that clock, and they drained the life out of the Titans sideline. That's how I view the game. And again, normally that's what the Titans do to their opponent. And identity-wise, they can't find that consistently.
No, they cannot, and we'll see if they can try and do that on Sunday in London against Baltimore. Hutt, appreciate it as always, and we'll be listening to you in Withrow today starting at 2 o'clock on 94.9 The Fan.
Thank you so much, guys. Always enjoy this. It's a good kickoff to the Monday, and have a great week.
You too. Jonathan Hutton from OutKick, again, 2 to 5 weekdays, 94.9 The Fan is where you can check out Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. And look forward to that. We'll wrap things up with final reaction to the Titans plus celebrity birthdays. That's next, the Chase and Big Joe Show, presented by Regal Realty Group on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Hope you're having a fantastic start to your Monday. Caroline Willie and D-Mace coming up in a few minutes. You'll hear from Mike Vrabel at noon. Hey, be sure to join us for the post-game show. It won't be pregame this week. It'll be postgame as the Titans play very early Sunday morning. Jared Stillman and company at Teddy's Tavern, located across from Bridgestone Arena, this Sunday from 11 to 1 as they break down the Titans-Ravens game. Our NFL pregame is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and the Beast Unleashed. And Joe, as we kind of put our final thoughts on the Titans game, I'll be curious of what Vrabel says. I mean, you heard him after the game yesterday. He was asked about specific plays and specific things that had happened, and ultimately he was just disappointed in the loss, and I get that. I mean, that's a coach's mentality, but there are some things of concern. Christian Fulton is a concern because I don't see him getting any better. He's in a contract year. I've always kind of felt like that maybe Vrabel looks at him and, you know, he's called him a repeat offender when it comes to soft tissue injuries and things like that. You know, I kind of feel like that this may be it for Christian Fulton this year. But now, he got burnt a couple of times yesterday on some big plays, and you just can't have that. And then he gets called for a pass interference that was very costly. So you obviously can't have those things. And then the fact that you had Zach Moss rush for 165 yards and two touchdowns on you, simply not good enough, and that's why they lost.
It just, as I told Hutton, it just seems there's something off about this football team, and I don't see a lot of celebration. I don't see a lot of gang tackling. I don't see a lot of slap each other in the behind. I just don't. There's a lot of, I don't know, the energy's not there. It's just weird. And, you know, you wonder if, you know, the talk of, is this Tannehill going to be here? Is he going to be gone? Is Henry going to be here? Is he going to be gone? Byard, I want you to take a pay cut because all this and that. I mean, does it affect? I don't know. I mean, I'm not in the locker room. I'm just, it's curious. But something is bothering this football team. I'm not sure what it is. Have they tuned Vrabel out? I don't know. I mean, it was just bad. I mean, but, you know, they are sitting there 2-3 now, and they lose to the Saints by a point. Chargers have to go, you know, late in the game, overtime with them. I mean, this team could be, I mean, very well. I mean, they're sitting there 2-3. It could be 1-4. They could be 4-1. That's the frustrating part. But there's just a disconnect within this football team that's going to be weird to figure out. And, you know, and now you got to head across the ocean to London to play a good Ravens team. They're going to be mad, too, for the way they lost. So a lot of factors, man, a lot of bad things that aren't going the Titans' way right now. So it's a thing we'll have to see on Sunday. Again, if they go over there and they beat the Ravens, even by 2 points, you know, they win the game and all this is non-talk. But if they lose and play bad, then, yeah. I want to ask you this. Bill Belichick done? That team's awful.
I think so.
Awful.
I do. I think that I don't know. Like, I don't think they're going to fire him, like, publicly.
No.
Even though we'll all kind of know. But I think he's going to, quote-unquote, retire.
You know, it's got to drive him crazy because now all the talk in reading last night was, well, because of Brady, and nothing like –
Yeah, I mean, but there's some truth to that.
There's a lot of truth to that.
Like, what's he done since Brady? He hasn't done anything.
That's right.
Brady went and won a Super Bowl. Yep. Brady, the moment that Tom Brady was on television on a football field in a Bucs uniform holding the Lombardi Trophy – like, Belichick probably broke something because that was the end of the argument. And the fact that Belichick hasn't been able to do anything since then to answer that, I mean, there is no argument.
Yeah.
And they needed each other, yes. I mean, Brady needed a coach, especially early in his career. He's given a lot of credit to Belichick for that. But Belichick in Cleveland couldn't figure it out. And then before Brady couldn't figure it out, and after Brady couldn't figure it out.
By the way, Anthony Richardson, according to Ian Rappaport, he's out 1 month.
So it's Minshew mania.
Yeah, which is, you know, Gardner Minshew looked fantastic yesterday.
He looked fine.
Precise passes, leading the team down the field, no panicking.
Before we get to celebrity birthdays, Josh wants to weigh in on the Titans real quick. Josh, welcome in.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. I thought this going to London thing, and it's costing the Titans and the other teams. Is it not the NFL that wants us to go there? And if so, why isn't the NFL covering the cost of forcing our teams to go over there?
Maybe they are. I don't know.
I think they are. I mean, I think the NFL, and thanks for the call, I think the NFL does a lot of this. But, yeah, I mean, the NFL is the ones that want to be over there.
Yeah, and
for
the,
sure. And they're going to be in Germany, and, you know, they've been to Mexico. I mean, there's
– Well, I mean, there's that, you know, talk about
international games.
Having a team one day in the near future being based in London or wherever over there. It's going to happen.
Probably. I mean, I think it sooner rather than later, it will for sure happen. But a lot of questions with the Titans that we'll be discussing throughout the week. And, you know, Joe, I think you make a really good point on how much of the – will Tannehill be back, Henry be back? You know, how much is that seeping into the psyche of the locker room right now? Because I definitely think there could be some truth to that.
Well,
so
yeah.
Those are things that we'll continue to discuss.
I mean, Hutton was talking about, I mean, you go in the offseason, you draft two quarterbacks the last 2 years pretty high. Then, you know, Tannehill will go out there and play. It's just all that. There's just all the drama that goes – that's not about football, that's off the field. I'm sure – I mean, these guys read the paper. They're on social media. They see everything. When they say they don't, that means they are. So a lot of that plays in there. And I don't know. It's just – it just there's something wrong with this team, whether it's energy, camaraderie, tuning Vrabel out. I don't know. But 2-3 right now, I mean, you're a third of the way through the season almost, and it doesn't look good, especially when the AFC South is playing a lot better than one thought.
Yeah, and real quick on that, like, yeah. I don't expect them to win this week, but would I be shocked if they go to London and they win, you know, by two touchdowns? No, because that's just how inconsistent things are with this team. And that's also the definition of a Mike Vrabel special. So nothing would really surprise me at this point. We'll continue to discuss that. But now let's get to celebrity birthdays.
Time for America's favorite game. Gotta get with them in 2 years, my friends. Here we go. Chaser, you go first. Sharon Osbourne. How old is Sharon Osbourne today?
78.
Sharon Osbourne. Let's go 67.
71.
Mm.
Been married to Ozzy since 1982. Actor Tony Shalhoub. He was in Monk. He's also the fabulous or the marvelous Miss Maisel.
Wasn't he on Wings?
He was, yes.
62.
67.
70. Scott Bakula was on the CSI New Orleans, Quantum Leap, or whatever it was, New Orleans.
Yep. NCIS New Orleans.
There you go.
And also Star Trek. Scott Bakula, 70?
63.
69. Bakula nice. Rhymes with Dracula. thank you.
Happy Halloween.
What?
I don't know. An actor. Let's go. let's see here. Oh, Jackson Brown. He wrote Take It Easy by the Eagles. How old's Jackson Brown?
Very good in concert, by the way. 74.
Yeah, this is tough. I keep going into the 60s, but let's go 79.
75. Chaser's up 2-0. Chaser, he used to have a show right here on 102.5 The Game. Actor Robert Wall from Bull Durham.
He sure did. Random. Got the hiccups there, JoJo?
Oh, just Robert Wall show. Made me laugh.
71.
This blows my mind. 63?
72. By the way, the Robert Wool show was worse than the Chase and Big Joe show. That tells you something. Jay Peterman, John O'Hurley from Seinfeld. How old is he today?
Mr. Peterman. 68.
Mr. Peterman. Let's go 73.
69. Chase are rolling 4-0.
The hot streak continues for Chase.
He is just setting them up, knocking them down. John Lennon's son, Sean Lennon. How old is Sean Lennon today?
Looks just like him, actually. Sean Lennon, 48?
Sean Lennon. Let's go 44.
48 exactly.
Oh, boy.
Chaser's got a swoosh, 5-0. We're going to keep going. Knock Willie's record off. Actor Steve Burns from Blue's Clues. I know you watched that show, Chase, growing up. Blue's Clues. Someone got a letter.
We just got a letter.
This is a tough one. I'm going to go, like, I don't know, 58?
50. He's 50. Mm,
golly.
He's 50?
Yep.
I feel old.
Wasn't there like 3 or 4 Blue's Clues hosts?
I don't know. You watch it more than I did. I watched it with my kids 1,000 times. All right, country singer Scotty McCreery. Chase, is that your bowels moving? What's going on there? Oh, it's a plane.
No. It's a plane.
Scotty
McCreery. Actually, it's a helicopter. It's the Magnum helicopter. who? Scotty McCreery?
Yeah.
45.
Scotty McCreery. He's got to be in his 30s. Let's go 36.
He's 30.
God.
What? All right. And one more, Chase, to finish out here today. You got 5. You could come within 1 of Willie, but one of the greatest linebackers of all time, Mike Singletary. How old is Mike Singletary?
Can't win with him.
That's right.
Worst coach ever, but a great linebacker.
65. Oh,
Chaser, 6-0. That's it, Chaser. Good job, Bubba.
You got to go back to the lab.
And, it wasn't Saturday. Was it yesterday or Saturday your daughter's birthday?
Yesterday, yep.
Yesterday? Well, happy birthday, Hannah.
Yeah, the big 25. So, I feel old, but she's beautiful, and I'm blessed. Thank you, Lord. By the way, it's our show. Again, let you guys out there know we love you. We're thinking about you. If you need to talk to somebody, go talk to someone. Reach out to Chase and I. We're always here for you. We need you guys around. We love you. Just want to let you guys know that.
Yes, to anyone and everyone, we are always here. Enjoy the rest of your day. Coming up next, Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace give their reaction to the Titans' loss to the Colts yesterday, 23-16. You'll also hear from Mike Vrabel at noon, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.